Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
All right, we talked about it all day. We talked a lot of hockey the other day because it is the sport that seems like it might return for us. We've missed our buddy, the head coach of the New York Rangers, David Quinn. Coach, we welcome you in and hope that you and everyone and your family and close-knit group is safe and healthy during this obviously horrible time.
Yeah, it is a horrible time, and certainly my condolences go to you, Dave. I know it's been a tough time for you and a tough time for everybody. So, you know, everybody talks about what I miss the most during this, and I'm going to say you three. I've missed you three guys the most during this difficult time, so I'm glad to be talking to you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you back, and thank you for the kind words, and obviously a lot to go on during this conversation. So kind of walk us through the return of hockey and what you've been told and you know, the interaction with the team, and just kind of an overview from a head coaching perspective of where you are as the man that leads the Rangers right now.
Yeah, we've obviously been doing anything we can to stay safe and healthy first and foremost and doing our part in trying to battle this terrible disease. That being said, we're very fortunate to play a sport that people care about and are passionate about. And I think our sport has done a really good job of being sensitive to society's situation, yet also trying to get our game back to maybe help the healing process here. And, you know, we were excited last week about phase one and the announcement of the playoff format coming back. Excited that we're part of it. Obviously, there's no perfect scenario, and trying to keep everybody happy is impossible during this time. But you know, it's you're trying to find ways to stay productive and stay, you know, active in your profession. But there really is only so much film you can watch, and only so many things you can do. And we've certainly been in constant contact with our players just to keep them abreast of what's going on. They're really limited to what they can do from a conditioning standpoint. Some guys have a little bit more access to equipment than others. So, you know, we're going to have a wide degree of what type of condition your players are in. I think that's why there's going to be a long time and an opportunity for the players to kind of find their legs individually before training camp starts. We've tried to do our part as an organization. Our strength coach, Jamie Rodriguez, has done a great job, you know, creating workout plans for our players relative to what they have. We've actually sent every player a slide board just to, you know, try to keep the groins and the hips active to hopefully minimize any potential risk of injury when we do come back. And, you know, we're just excited that we're at this stage. But again, we're going to take this stage by stage and step by step. And the next step is for us to allow our players to come back into the practice facilities and be able to kind of ease their way back into it.
The good old Mike Boyle slide board.
I knew you'd remember that, Ricky.
used to love those days. Quinny, in your opinion, now you're gonna. I really like the time frame as to when, you know, the season could actually get back underway. Obviously, health is the biggest concern, but for you, I mean, how long would you imagine it's gonna take? You know, these guys once they're back to kind of get their legs back and get back up to speed.
I think they're going to have about a 3-week window to be on their own and work out in the small groups. And I think they're smart enough to, you know their bodies. We certainly help manage it from afar. You know, there is going to be the urgency to, you know, go hard right away. We've been off for so long. And as you know, you guys know as athletes, you want to get after it, but you've got to balance, you know, the health and the conditioning piece to it all. And, you know, I don't think it's going to take, I think the league is doing it the right way. I think the 3 weeks these guys are going to have on their own to kind of, you know, find their way and push themselves without coaches there is going to be the right way to go about it. I think all these guys are self-motivated enough that, you know, they know their bodies. They wouldn't be at this level if they weren't self-motivated. So they'll be able to push themselves to the degree that they need to. And then, obviously, when training camp starts, we'll be able to bring them to the next level. So, you know, I think the layout and the time frame has been well thought out by the NHL, and I think it's going to be plenty of time when it comes time to drop the puck against Carolina for us to be ready conditioning-wise.
And, Coach, to that point, I mean, I know you mentioned about battling against human nature and wanting to just kind of jump back into it and get back after it. I mean, what do you think about, you know, jumping into playoff-style hockey, you know, when you start talking about your first games against other opponents? You're not talking about regular season intensity. It's a different element. So, I guess, how do you feel about the prospects of doing that and moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a level playing field, Chris. So I think that everybody's in the same boat and everybody's in the same situation. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think every game, I think there's going to be a level of excitement, regardless of whether it be a playoff game or not, because of what society and what we have all gone through. And obviously the playoff piece of it's going to add a little bit more intensity to it, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference or an obstacle for anybody in the league or for our team in general to be ready to play that type of hockey. I think, it's our responsibility as a coaching staff to make sure we're ready to go at that level, and that's going to be our goal in training camp, to put us in the best position mentally and physically to play playoff hockey.
The head coach of the New York Rangers, David Quinn, with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Coach, health-wise, and we've talked about this a bunch, you guys, the goalie was hurt and it was in the accident, and of course Kreider was banged up, and I mean, you could argue that a byproduct of not playing hockey for months and months and months is you might have the healthiest team that you've ever had when this thing returns.
Yeah, we are, but I also think, obviously, Carolina's going to benefit from it. They're going to get Dougie Hamilton back. They're going to get Botnin back, who they traded for from New Jersey. So they're going to benefit from it. I think every team in some way, shape, or form is going to benefit from this long layoff from a health standpoint. Kreider was actually a lot closer than people thought. I mean, we ended our season in Colorado on a Wednesday. We were going to play Arizona on Saturday and then come back home and play a game on Monday night. And Kreider was actually going to be able to play on Monday night. So he was a lot closer than maybe people thought when this thing broke. So, and Shesterkin obviously was back in the net. So, we are going to be healthy, which is going to, it's always nice to be able to enter the playoffs with, all your firepower, and we certainly will have all ours.
Hey, Coach, I mean, what do you think of the pros and cons are going to be of playing these games without fans in seats?
Well, Ricky, you've been in it. I mean, playoff hockey, there's nothing like it. The atmosphere really, is ratcheted up, whether on and off the ice. The atmosphere in the buildings is unlike any other in any sport. And, that is going to be missed. That being said, I think 80% of our team has never played in an NHL playoff game, so they're not going to have anything to compare it to. So that might be a little bit of an advantage from our end of it. But, I think it's going to be strange for sure. I mean, down the last month and a half, we feel like we've been playing playoff-type games because of the situation we're in. We dug ourselves that hole. And, the atmosphere in every building we went into was real, and it was electric. So it is going to be a little bit of an adjustment. But like I said, I mean, everybody has to go through it, and that's part of the uncertainty of this playoff. I mean, people talk about an asterisk put next to the Stanley Cup champion. I think if there is an asterisk put next to the Stanley Cup champion, it should be in a positive way, and the fact that this is going to be a Stanley Cup one under circumstances that never been happened before. So, and more difficult in a lot of ways. So, it is going to be different, but I really believe once a game gets going, it might take one shift, it might take five, it might take 10, but once a game gets going, I think the guys are going to be in playoff mode, and I don't think it's really going to affect them.
Coach, one of the things that we've discussed the last couple of months is the natural opportunity that's going to be presented to whatever professional team sport that comes back first, because you're going to have the chance to have an audience that you might not otherwise have because of the precautions that we're all taking because of the pandemic. So, I guess the question that I have to ask to you is, what do you think of the prospects of having, more casual sports fans tuning in to watch hockey when you resume play?
I think that's a great opportunity for us under these difficult circumstances. It might be one of the few positives that from this. Hockey's a sport, and this, Chris. I mean, it's a lot better in person than it is on TV, but I think it's still an exciting time game to watch on TV. And, there's nothing like playoff hockey. It is going to be a little bit different without the fans through the TV, but we do have an opportunity to capture more fans to follow our great game, and I think the NHL realizes that. But, first and foremost, in all the conversations we've had, and, I think our league has done an incredible job of putting safety and health first and foremost. I think that, they certainly are aware of what's going on in society. And I think, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and the Board of Governors have done a phenomenal job in keeping all of this in perspective. And we certainly understand how fortunate we are to even get to this point where we're in phase one and have an opportunity to play hockey again.
David Quinn with us here, 98.7 ESPN, head coach of the New York Rangers. Have you talked to all your guys? Have you been in touch with some of them? Not a lot. How's that played out so far through this?
I've talked to all of them. I would say probably minimum three times. Some a little bit more than others for a variety of different reasons. But I've talked to all the players, and again, just staying in tune with them and finding out. You know, tough to get. It's funny, even though you're a pro athlete under these circumstances, when you don't have, you know, end dates on when you need to be places and when camp starts and when you might be on the ice. You know, you got to be very self-motivated. So we were trying to constantly kind of give them a little kick in the ass every now and then to, you know, keep the eye on the prize and tell them we are going to come back and, you know, keep staying in shape. And, you know, you can win hockey games between now and by the time we get together again. You know, because the teams that are able to maintain some sort of conditioning between now and the time you get back on the ice, you're going to have an advantage. And that's some of the things that we were talking about with our players. But, you know, I talked to every guy, you know, multiple times during this time.
This is why I love you, Coach, because as much as the players want to play, you probably, of everyone that wants to get back, I'm sure you're the one that wants to get back the most. I'm going to ask you this question, knowing full well that you probably won't answer it, but I will feel bad if I don't. What are we doing now? You got three goalies. Are we working with Shesterkin? I mean, is it his job to start, and then you kind of go from there?
I mean, when the season ended, he was the guy that was carrying the mail. And, you know, but that being said, these are different circumstances. So training camp's going to mean a lot. I mean, we're going to watch and pay attention, but we're not going to completely disregard what happened before the thing, you know, before we had to stop. So, you know, we feel incredibly confident in all three of these guys. I'd rather have three really good ones than no good ones. And everyone talks about what a problem it's been. And, you know, oh, my God, you've had three. Well, look at our record since we've had three goalies. It hasn't been the problem everybody has made it out to be. And obviously, the way they have all handled it has certainly gone a long way in us being able to have the success we've had. But, hey, you know, we're going to watch when we do start. That being said, we're certainly going to take into consideration what had transpired during the last, you know, few months of the season. How was that for an answer?
I like it. I would imagine with him too. I mean, it is his time, and he's been great for you guys. But I would imagine too, under the circumstances. I mean, if all things being equal and all three goalies look good, I mean, his ability to handle the puck a little bit under these circumstances would probably help a little bit. Also, would be an advantage for you guys.
Yeah, they all have strengths and weaknesses. That's probably the one. You know, he does have an advantage, you know, over Hank and Georgie with his puck handling. That certainly that never hurts. It never hurts. That's for sure.
I will say the only, and it's not even a negative, because I mean, we're getting hockey back. You guys are, you know, you're in the tournament, which is awesome, especially when you're facing a team that voted no because they hate the matchup. That's going to give you some confidence. But I mean, you guys, and by the end, I mean, the way, especially Zibanejad and Panarin were playing, I mean, those guys were two of the best players in the NHL when we went on pause.
Yeah, they were. I mean, undoubtedly, they were. And, you know, you talk about Panarin and the year he's had, and everybody, you know, obviously highlights his offensive ability and all the things he does with the puck. But I think what kind of gets lost a little bit in it, he's plus 35, and I want you to go look at the top 10 scorers in the league and show me the guy, anybody who's near him in a plus-minus category, plus 35, you know.
Exactly right.
You know, Mika leading the NHL in goals per game. You know, if Mika hadn't missed those 13 games, he'd be another guy that certainly should be in the MVP consideration. So, you know, those two guys have had phenomenal years, and I've said this an awful lot about both of them. They're, you know, when your best players are great people, it certainly bodes well for your organization.
Coach, doesn't Mika have to win? Dave, hold on. This is my last one. Doesn't Mika have to win the Selke? Doesn't he? I mean, 41 goals, killing penalties. I mean, what he did this season, he has to win the Selke, doesn't he?
He's got to. If he's not in the conversation, then something's wrong. I think. I think, you know, you're talking about as well-rounded a center in the league right now, and the way he's playing. I mean, you got to pay attention to what he's doing. You know, and he does an awful lot for us in all situations. That's for sure.
Coach, we were mentioning early on the show, and I don't want to single out any player, but you know, player with diabetes on your team, and I know there are players around the league that certainly have underlying illnesses. Is there a thought that some guys might not come back to play when we do resume, or is the impression you get that, at least with your team, that everyone will come back and will play when we get to the postseason?
Yeah, first and foremost, our players' health and safety is the number one priority. And obviously, you know, with Kako's situation, him being type 1 diabetes, that's certainly going to be a conversation that we're all going to have. And you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to make that decision. It's going to be a medical decision. And, you know, this organization is never going to put anybody in harm's way, regardless of your age. I'll give you 19 or 39. I mean, he's, you know, this kid's a human being first and foremost. And, you know, we're going to, you know, do all our homework, and the doctors are going to do everything they can to give us the best information possible. And we'll make that decision when that time comes.
Bulletin board material with the Canes voting against this new format, unfair for them? Is that something you guys will discuss, or just let's go up against them?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that's why they voted against it. I mean, you know, and I know everybody makes a big deal out of it. And listen, nobody has more respect for that team and that coach than we do. And if you watch those games, I mean, you know, the first game we went down there, Hank stole it. He made 45 saves. And, you know, it felt like I had a mask on walking out of that building, you know. I mean, it was the highway robbery. And then the next two games were much more competitive. We get up on both. We get up 3-0 at home on them, and they made a surge and came back. I think we ended up winning 4-3. And then we got up 4-1 on them the third time we played them, and they closed it to 4-3, ended up winning 5-3. So both those games were back-and-forth games, really good games. And then the last one, I thought we one of our better performances when we beat them down there 5-2. But we got great goaltending when we played them. And, you know, I can't believe it, to be honest with you. I mean, there's really no relevance to what happened before we play them in this series. You know, everyone has a different idea of what the playoff structure should be. I don't think they're avoiding us. I just think that was how they felt the playoffs should be. Now, I know everybody wants to take a different spin at it, but I know Rod Brind'Amour, and he's not afraid of anybody or anything. So I don't play anything into that, and it's going to be a hell of a series.
Well, Coach, listen, we cannot wait for any sport, specifically your sport, to return. We're excited for the Rangers. We are thrilled that you joined us for a few minutes today. And Chris is all in, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but Chris has jumped ship. He was an Islanders fan. He was pressured into that, and now he's all in on the Rangers. So.
I was never really an Islanders fan, though, Dave. Come on now.
No? All right. No. Well, I know one guy. Listen, I know there's one guy I am never going to fully win over from the island of the Rangers, right? And even though we got the Massachusetts BU connection, I know that never that wall will never be broken. But I'll accept that and still love
you. Lost, hey. By the way, anyway. You lost that the second you stuck me in the utility closet to get dressed at BU.
No one else would give me a locker room. At least I gave you a place to dress.
That's right. At least you got the closet. And I did pressure him into answering this week. I said, Rangers, Hurricanes, who are you going to root for? And he said Rangers. So it's baby steps, Coach. Baby steps.
Oh, that is baby steps.
See?
That's baby steps. I like it. I like it. But I'm glad we brought Chris over from the dark side. That's good news.
We got him. All right. We appreciate you.
All right, guys.
Hopefully we talk to you a bunch.
Yeah, I look forward to it. All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much. That, of course, is such a great guest, the head coach of the New York Rangers, David Quinn, joining us on 98.7 ESPN. So I can't wait for the start of hockey. It's going to be great. There's going to be no travel.
I was going to tell him, you asked a good question. It's not what you think. It's what you can sell to the team. Is that going to be bulletproof?
Right.
Of course that's going to be bulletin board, 100%. Has to be.
Of course. I mean, they didn't want us. They voted against this. Come on. You're a coach now. That wouldn't be on the bulletin board pregame discussion game one. They voted against this, you know, restart of the league just because they didn't want you guys.
That's probably how I'm opening up my game one. My pregame speech is probably going to be opened up with that, yeah.
Right?
This team's scared of you. They want no piece of you. 0-4 against. Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, you're selling that all day long. The other point though that I think is an important point too is I think the time frame and when this thing gets started is important because you're gonna have the guys have plenty of time to get themselves back into the shape they need to be in because skating's different. It really is. But the point of having no fans in the seats and how many guys on the Rangers have never experienced playoff hockey. I think that's a huge advantage for a team like the Rangers. I do. Because you're going to have less nerves. I mean, you're going to see – I mean, a lot of times you play in these big, humongous games and, you know, you go into your first couple power plays and it stinks and you can't get any shots. And then all of a sudden you start feeling the pressure because your crowd's booing you or the other crowd's getting the momentum. That messes with your head. And now not having to worry about that, you can just focus on, you know, what's happening on the ice would be a huge advantage for younger players that never experienced those kind of big, huge moments.
But the other side of that, though, Rick, is because you don't have the fans in the stands. I mean, if you haven't been in the postseason, then it's hard to understand what the speed of the game is going to be like. It's going to be different. And, you know, even without the fans, like, veteran players on other teams are going to understand, okay, this is what it's about. And I know that it, the intensity overall is ratcheted up a little bit. Now, maybe you'll have a little bit of more intensity than you would in a regular season game just because you hadn't played in so long. But this is going to be a different animal. And sometimes when you have the fans and you have those environments, it's easier to get into the flow of the game. When you don't have any fans, I mean, you're going to be responsible for bringing all your energy and all the emotion yourself. And for a young player, that's a hell of an adjustment.
It's a hell of an adjustment, but sometimes you just don't know better. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you don't understand what's at stake because it's your first foray and you don't feel like, like this is going to be the last time. So, I mean, I'm just going to go out there and play, as opposed to maybe, you know, one of the teams that are expected to win a Stanley Cup that's got a bunch of older players. They kind of can feel that pressure a little bit more than the young guys.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it's going to be good hockey, though. I'm not concerned. I mean, with the amount of time they have to get ready, especially all these teams being healthy and everything else, I mean, it's going to be fast, and it's going to be, I mean, I would imagine the physicality, like the physical play is going to be crazy with how pent up these guys are.
Can't wait. I mean, they haven't played in months. They haven't skated probably a lot of these guys in months.
Okay, but you haven't played in months, and then all of a sudden you can have 3 weeks by yourself doing without coaches, and then you go into a 3-week training camp. So now you're talking about 6 weeks of just going up against your own guys, and then you get unleashed in a best of five playing series.
Yeah. So what are we thinking? We're thinking like July, like 20th, in that range between then and the end of July.
The back end of half July. Of July.
Yeah. I think end of July. I think they said camp won't start before July 15th. I think they said. So
camp won't start before July 15th?
Won't start before July 15th, I think was the date. July 11th, July 15th, one of those days. And then they'll have 3 weeks after that. So probably closer to like the end of July, early August, yeah.
Right. All right.
Because they're going to push next season back. Next season is already going to be pushed back. Yeah, which is
You have no choice but to do that now.
Which is smart. Work back. That's how I said that from the beginning. You should work backwards, man, because you don't have enough answers right now. You just buy time. Just buy as much time as you want.
Right.
This is the most valuable time.
So what is it? So say, for argument's sake, it's August, September, part of October in the postseason?
Yeah, then you'll get restarted either late December or beginning of January. Get your next season started.
And the plan is to still play a full season starting in January.
Yeah, they've worked it out where you play a full season, you get rid of the bye, play the 82, and then give yourself the best opportunity to have people in seats.
Right. So next year's 2021 season will probably also be pushed well into the summer.
Yeah, that would make, if it starts in January, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, we all are desperate for hockey to return. Exciting to think that it might.
Don't hurt me.
TV and Joe Canty.
No more.
Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Would you like to do a little singing today?
Don't hurt me. I wish I had a good voice. If I had the choice between being a great dancer or a beautiful voice,
you go
give me
the
beautiful voice all day long.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, it just...
You could be in a boy band. Opens.
No.
I mean, you have the look of a boy band guy.
Oh, 100%.
I'll take 100%
that. Agree with that.
Right? Like, if you could even just mildly sing. But even Milli Vanilli, they couldn't sing, and they were big stars.
Rick's got the perfectly coiffed hair.
Yeah.
He's got the looks, the physique.
You're from Boston.
He's got everything you're looking for, except for the voice.
Outgoing, gregarious. Yeah. You got it all. You're just missing the voice. One minor detail.
Yeah, the most important detail. That's all I'm missing is the whole dancing and singing thing.
I guess he could T-Pain this thing all the way through.
Right, you could.
Go with the synthesizer.
Lip sync, have someone else sing for you. You just cut it up out there.
And do Mass Milo. Can you imagine that Mass Singer Milo would freak out?
If it was you?
If it was me, he'd have a nervous breakdown.
He'd go crazy. Especially because it's taped. And then, I imagine it's taped.
Yeah, he wouldn't know. Like,
you'd have him sitting there next to him on the couch, and then you'd be on the TV as well.
And then all of a sudden, in the first week when I lose because I can't sing, he's yelling, take it off, and then it's me. It'd be gold. I'd have to videotape it because he wouldn't know what to do with himself.
Go viral. Might be bigger than you emanating from a bubble bath on SportsCenter. You could redeem yourself.
Which I still regret.
No, you don't.
I wish I did it because you know me. Cassie's happy that I didn't, but I wish I did do it.
We needed Cassie on our side, Chris. If Cassie would have pushed you into doing it, you would have done it. If she thought it was a good idea, you would have done it.
Well, yes, absolutely, Dave. You know, he's given over control of his life to Cassie.
Right.
And I think that, and I think everybody can agree that's in Rick's best interest.
Oh, absolutely.
But if we would have got her on board with what we were talking about, with Rick coming out of the bathtub on SportsCenter, he absolutely would have done it. No matter what else anybody else says.
That was our mistake, Chris. We should have gone right to Cassie. And if she would have presented the idea, it would have been a successful launch. But no.
So just go directly to the source next time we want to get Rico on our side.
Then he would say, this is what Cassie wants from me. And then we would say, oh, that's a good idea. We would then become the reconfirmation of the whole thing. And then I think it takes off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, Dave.
I think next time that's
we played it all wrong.
Yeah, we didn't play it well. All right, let's play this well. Santi, there's sound for it. It's Nobservations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Nobservations.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, fellas. This is Friday edition of Nobservations. I repeat, this is Nobservations, the segment Nobservations. And we'll have some new sounders today, Dave, between stories, just to so everyone knows, you know, when the story is over and a new one's going to begin.
It's a good idea.
A couple different ones. Yeah, it's a terrific idea. Let's start with some good news. We just talked to Coach Quinn about, you know, what to expect with no fans in seats. Here's some good news for the Denver Broncos. This will not affect their newly signed running back, Melvin Gordon. Here's what he had to say to Marcus Cromartie on his podcast.
We didn't have fans anyway.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we didn't have many Charger fans at the game. I'm just being honest. We didn't have many Charger fans at the game. You know, much loyalty, love, but we ain't had many. So I'm not missing anything.
Wow.
That's good news.
Cold-blooded, huh?
That's good. It's not. Is he? I mean, he wasn't lying.
I'm not saying he's lying, exactly. But that's cold-blooded. We didn't have any fans anyway.
It's true, though.
It is true.
Yeah.
I love how he slipped in, though. Much love.
Much love. That is so... You can't say much love after shading the hell out of an entire fan base.
That's right.
You just can't do it.
Miss you, Chargers.
Come on, man.
I love it. All right.
I don't think the Heavyset's going to come down for quite a while.
Was that your transition piece?
Yeah, that's the transition. That's to a new story. I'm going to go right to a did this happen in Florida story. You're going to love this, Dave. You know, we've kind of talked over this, over the last couple months, about how to deal with a pandemic, like what gets you through the days. A lot of people, it's, you know, kind of hopes that maybe for you, I know live sports will be back at some point. You know, I rely on pancakes and carbohydrates to get me through my days. Here's something that a couple has decided to do to, you know, give people something to look forward to, in an effort to give their neighbors a laugh during the coronavirus pandemic. A couple recently posted 30 flyers advertising a post-pandemic Avengers-themed orgy.
Orgy?
Orgy. Oh, yeah, you better believe it. Started off as a joke. Little did they realize that there'd be so much interest. I actually received over 80 emails that this is going to happen. The orgy is on, the couple said. Yeah. They've never been to one, but both now feel that they're obligated to hold one as soon as it's safe to do so. You're probably asking yourself, why Avengers themed? Well, it's funny that you asked that question because they said pretty simple for them. And they love spandex, bodysuits, and tights. Mm. So it just seemed like the perfect party idea. One really, really excited participant tells the Post that he's got dibs on Doctor Strange. And that he's 83% sure he has COVID-19 antibodies. So he'll have three.
What percentage?
83% sure.
83%.
Yeah. Because...
Which is the greatest line of the whole article, I would imagine. Where does he come up with that number?
83%.
83% sure.
Yeah.
Which should give him free range to pretty much do whatever he wants. Is this post-pandemic orgy going to happen in Florida, fellas?
Boy, I don't know. I'm going to say no just because, as I've really determined, my mantra is everywhere, in fact, is Florida. So I'll say that although it does feel like Florida, I'm going to say that it's somewhere outside the state of Florida. But I will also say that this is clearly an American story. So not Florida, in this country, Final answer.
It sounds a lot like Florida. I'm not going to put too much thought into it. I'm just going to go ahead and say it is Florida.
Ooh, it's Florida. Santi, this is right up your alley. Both things you love.
Never mind. Not Florida, but definitely in the United States of America.
You and Dave are correct. Candy is wrong. This is Philadelphia. This is a Philadelphia story.
I would have never guessed Philadelphia.
Never guessed Philadelphia.
Now, if your performance is bad, do they boo you out of the orgy?
Probably. Make you eat horse poop, probably.
I'm so jacked up right now. I need to eat this horse poop.
That's the real question. Will Gunling be involved in the...
I think he's the one that started this.
Wow.
Wow. Gunling doesn't seem like an Avengers guy.
I think Gunling could be the one that called dibs on Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he's got 83% confidence in his antibodies.
83% sure he's got the antibodies.
Wow. I keep playing. I don't think the heavyset's going to come down for quite a while.
Rick, you're not comfortable with the transition yet from story to story, I can tell.
Well, I don't know when he's going to do it. I'm not giving him enough credit. We're just kind of working through the kinks. I got another sound, too. I think we might stick with this one. So good job, Santi. Bad on me. We'll work on the next one here. Dave, have you seen I'm not sure if you've seen the story. You probably have. I mean, you're a Mets fan. Canty sees everything, so I'm sure he's already seen it. So former Mets player, do you see the second-round pick, Andrew Church?
No.
What he wrote on Twitter, he tweeted out about the Mets?
I did not.
So he's one of the players that was cut, right, with all these players getting cut.
They cut 39, right.
Okay, I'm going to try to get to this really quick. You should hear this because, I mean, you want to know what's going on with the Mets and their organization. This was someone that played for them. So please read and understand my true feelings. Today I got released by the New York Mets organization. The people on the other end of the phone had nothing but good things to say, and I appreciated that very much. Anyone that has seen me play and compete knows that I lay it all on the line no matter what, every practice, every game. I'm a competitor, a true warrior. It's in my DNA. From the outside looking in, my baseball career probably raises a lot of questions. Why did you retire and come back? How come your numbers aren't very good if you were that dedicated? I've always kept my opinions to myself out of the respect for the organization. I signed a contract with, but now that it's officially over with them, I'd like to say something. One of the main reasons I retired was to keep myself from expressing how I felt. I was bitter, frustrated, and angry at the Mets organization. I felt my competitive nature was being taken advantage of. They knew I would never say no to competing and would fly me around to fill in for anyone that got injured. I realized this wasn't in my best interest. When my delayed flight finally landed in the third inning and I was on the mound in a AAA baseball game for the first time without any warm-up throws, my UCL originally tore that night. Instead of seeing a doctor like I asked, they sent me back to High A to pitch in the playoffs. When I told them I couldn't, I was made out to be the bad guy. Then the next year, they made a mockery of our team by putting a celebrity on it to sell more tickets. I saw players lose their jobs because of it. We weren't playing to win. We were playing to make everyone else money, not the players. We never saw a cut. Well, allegedly, that one player did. I think people are starting to understand that more and more, understand that more now, but they didn't in 2018 when it was happening. Again, I was fed up. I spent my whole childhood honing in my passion and anger to not let it get out of control. But it was, and I was going to explode. So I took the opposite direction. I bottled it up, silenced myself. I took some time away and cleared my head. He goes on to say that he came back.
It's an awful story.
It's horrendous. Yeah.
I got to tell you, the worst part of it to me is the player saying that there's something wrong with his arm, and the team saying go up and pitch in the playoffs. That's awful.
Well, it's awful. I mean, it's no different than what they did to Matt. Made him look like the bad guy for having, you know, innings restrictions when he had came back from Tommy John, no?
Yeah, it is. And that was awful.
Yeah, he also goes on to say, so he says, he came back. I asked to be reinstated in 2019 when a new player development regime took over for the Mets. I honestly think they're making strides to be a better organization, but the culture... Here's what I didn't like. But the culture that has been built for decades within that organization is toxic, filled with snakes and bottom feeders trying to elevate their professional careers at the expense of the players with no remorse.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Brutal.
I mean, but that sounds about right, though. I mean, it's not like we haven't been talking about this the last couple of years with the Mets, right?
No, but then to see it actually, you know, in written form from a player that was within the organization, it reinforces what we've been discussing. It's terrible.
That's a second round pick too.
It's a terrible story. You know, the ownership had a chance to get out for $2.6 billion. They'll never get that kind of an offer again.
Not good. Not good. But what I didn't like, though, seriously, and again, I understand. I mean, how you see it as a player may be different than how people in the organization see it. but between making him pitch with his UCL torn and everything else, that bothers me. But on top of it, I mean, you have people always ask why, you know, dysfunctional organizations don't all of a sudden, you know, become more functional. It's to what he said. I mean, you have new people in charge, but I mean, just it's been years and years of having this toxic environment that still has, you know, a lot of those same people in it. I mean, how can you expect it to get better? No?
I don't think it will. I don't think it can. How can it possibly get better when it stems from the top?
It can't. And again, I mean, you can't. There's nothing you can do. I mean, the opportunity was there for, I mean, $2.6 billion. You turned it down, and now who knows what the hell, you know, that offer is going to look like.
Which might be the biggest, which might be one of the biggest losses for any professional sports team this year. The loss that the Wilpons took by not accepting the deal.
And you got to keep, and it didn't include SNY. Oh my God.
I mean, do you understand that that's going to be potentially a half a billion dollar mistake?
Yeah.
Or more?
It could be more, Dave.
I mean, we're not talking about like, oh, that's going to cost you, which is, you know, crazy money, like $1 million or $2 million. I mean, we're talking about this could be a $500 million plus mistake.
Yes.
It's a lot of money.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah.
Right?
Not even a question. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Santi, hit it.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavyset's going to come down for quite a while.
And I feel like you guys have really kind of perfected this.
Here we go. This is the last one, and this is, I mean, this is another one. I figured out I'd bring Friday to a close with a did this happen in Florida? Not nearly as difficult as the orgy story, but equally.
Now we're back to Florida here?
Yeah, but I'm calling it that. It's just scintillating. It's salacious. It's
like a current affair kind of story.
You hit it right on the head, okay. I think. All right, here we go. Did this happen in Florida? A gang of monkeys attacked a laboratory assistant and escaped with a batch of coronavirus test samples.
Wow.
This is a true story. I actually saw this. So I'm going to refrain from playing in this game.
You're going
to
refrain.
According to the report, this bizarre incident saw a troop of monkeys launch their assault near a medical college. Animals then snatched COVID-19 test samples from three separate patients. One of the monkeys was actually spotted in a tree eating one of the collection kits.
No, you can't make it up.
When was the last time you thought you'd see a story start with a gang of monkeys attacked a laboratory assistant?
Honestly, it sounds like the plot from The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That's exactly what it sounds like. Like, it doesn't sound like a real news story.
Things you don't expect when you're walking out of your job at a medical college.
Who robbed us? Monkeys.
A gang. It was a gang of monkeys.
A gang of them, though.
Crazy.
The whole crazy gang of monkeys. Them, man.
It was an organized attack.
And you couldn't stop them. I couldn't stop them.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Dave already knows. Canty, you think that was Florida?
Man, no, that's not Florida. That didn't happen in Florida.
Santi, what do you think?
I mean, I feel like, is this actually a confirmed real story?
It's a real story.
It sounds like one of those too outrageous to be true, but it could be true type of thing.
No, this is a real story.
I don't think this happened in the United States of America, because I feel like if it did, we'd be panicking a lot more.
So, hold on, Rick, you said it was a medical college, right?
Yeah, it's a medical college.
Okay, that takes Florida out of it for me. I know it's not Florida now.
I'm sticking with outside the United States, just because, again, we'd be panicking a lot more if that were in the United States and true.
Yeah, you guys are correct. That was not Florida. That was in India. That was a story that happened in India.
India.
I'm reading the story right now, prompting fears that the spread of the virus could intensify because of the monkeys' theft. I mean, this is unbelievable.
It's literally Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
That's
literally what it is.
They have biological weapons now.
We can spread this virus if we just break into the lab? Yes, Steve, let's go.
They didn't even wait to break into the lab. They just assaulted the poor guy that walked out.
Oh, my God. Get him. There he is. Can you imagine the look on the guy's face?
I'll tell you what, though. Whoever wrote the article is awesome, too, by the way. The bizarre incident saw the troop of primates launch their assault. I mean, it's
the wordsmith.
Perfectly written.
Crafts.
He's a wordsmith. Yep. And there you go, boys. That is Friday edition of an observation.
Is there any ending kind of sound for the finale? Or
no, we haven't got to the ending.
That would really
part.
Hammer home the point that it's done.
Yeah, how about give me the other sounder, Ray.
I didn't save that one. I didn't think we needed it.
Oh, Ray, come on.
Oh, you were so good all week.
That's okay.
It's Friday. Yeah,
we'll get that on Monday for you, Dave, all right?
All right.
Good. Good. Friday,
party, party tonight. Oh, there he goes. Party, baby. Friday.
Love that song.
Obviously, you were singing it on the radio.
Big fan of the song.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's Friday. Get the weekend.
It is Friday. Heading to the weekend. Supposed to be miserable tomorrow, but beautiful on Sunday.
Which is no good for me, because the pool's been open and we can't swim in it, because for some reason, chemicals are just completely screwed up.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, it's not fair. And what's better is they say, okay, we'll come, and then they leave, and then don't text or like leave something that says whether or not you can swim in it or not. I'm like, what are you supposed
to
guess?
So you have no idea?
You have no idea. I said,
did
a pool guy come
back at the end, like socially distanced, tell you, knock on the door, stand back 10 feet and say, all right, Rick, you guys can use the pool?
Yeah, or shoot a text, or maybe like leave something in the mail, like something.
I think you need a new company, new pool company.
So that's what I think.
Yeah. Does Cassie not agree with that?
She's a little bit hesitant to change. She likes them for some reason.
So she didn't want the 4th and 15 in the NFL either?
I actually think she was pro 4th and 15.
Okay.
Yeah. You should have seen me last night. You went disaster last night, David. So Milo, he learns, I mean, he does his schoolwork on his iPad. Somehow, some way, I mean, 3 a.m., he must have set his alarm on his iPad to go off at 3 a.m.
Oh, no.
Alarm goes blaring off. I come flying out of the bed like a ninja. like someone's breaking into the house. Just completely embarrassed myself. Cassie's like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, you don't hear that? Turns out it was just the iPad.
You are too much. Couple of stories, guys, before we hand it over to Bart and Han. Eli Apple is now a member of the Carolina Panthers. So good luck to him. He was on the Giants, of course, and then he was on New Orleans, and now he's a member, Chris, of the Carolina Panthers. So that's story number one.
Mm-hmm.
Story number two, and this is I'm surprised this didn't make observations with the good news portion of the segment. Hear what David Price is doing?
Yeah, I did see that. He's going to give $1,000 to all the Dodgers minor leaguers.
Every minor league player in the Dodgers organization gets $1,000 from David Price. Now, let's take it even one step further. He hasn't even been in the Dodgers organization. He just got traded there, has no relationship with any of these guys, and still giving $1,000 to every member of the organization. So good on him, Rick.
I love stories like that. I mean, whatever you can do for those for guys like that. I remember when Pedro Martinez used to bring in the Rawlings truck and let all the minor league guys pick out their own gloves because they don't usually have that opportunity. Stuff like that is awesome. It's great.
You love guys looking out for one another. I feel like the whole country should take a page out of what he's doing, and let's all try to look out for each other. We don't have enough of that.
Yeah, certainly not now we don't. We could use more of that. So any of the good stories we have to bring to the attention of everybody. All right, Bart and Han coming your way in just a moment. Wayne Gretzky going to be on the show today, Rick.
I hope you're joking.
I'm just kidding. Yes.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.